Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Back in and rolling on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. And joining me now is Christian Fowler, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. We haven't done our podcast in a couple of weeks, but we'll resume that tonight at 7 o'clock live on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network. It's the On the Bluff pod, again, every single Tuesday live at 7 p.m. Christian is on X, C. Fowler BCM. Christian, how's it going, brother?
Everything's going good. I cannot complain. We haven't got to talk in a couple weeks on here or on the podcast, so it feels good to be back. But it's been a busy last.
Yeah, I was gonna say, my brother, you've had a pretty special holiday season leading into New Year's. You're newly married, so yes. Congrats on that. Congrats to you and your lovely wife. Also, you got to go on your honeymoon. How was that? Good time.
Yeah, it was awesome. We went to St. Vincent, which is in the Caribbean, did the all-inclusive. I've never done that before. I've never done the all-inclusive, never been out of the country, so some new experiences. But, it was awesome. It was 81 degrees every day. The lows were like 75 or 76 every day. So the weather was perfect, never rained. Our room was awesome. The beach was awesome. The food was incredible. And like I said, never done an all-inclusive before. So being able to go into a restaurant and look at the menu, and I'm a food junkie, and my wife's a food junkie. And so when you look at a menu, typically, like when we go out to eat, it's okay, you look at the menu, you go, man, that sounds good, that sounds good, that sounds good. I'm settling on that. All-inclusive is just like, yeah, give me one of everything. And I looked around.
Yeah, they don't charge you more. You already paid for it.
Yeah, and I would see people that would, like, no appetizers, just drinking water and each having an entree. And I'm just like, what are y'all doing? Y'all are totally missing the boat on what this is supposed to be. Anything that even sounds remotely good, just order it and try it. And if you don't like it, who cares?
Yeah. Well, maybe they've been on a couple more all-inclusive.
Maybe they weren't newbies like me.
Yeah, maybe it was there. They've been there a couple of times already. But, man, I'm glad to hear all of that. I do need to ask you this, though. What was the college football or NFL football watching situation? When I was married, it was during football season. It was on the day of the Boise State game a couple of years back for Memphis. And then, obviously, I was trying to watch football on a Saturday, and it was kind of, I have to sort of get inventive on how to go watch it. But did you take in some football while you're out in St. Vincent?
No, not really. I mean, it was week 17 of the NFL, so most of the big stuff had already happened. And I know there were some good games week 17. Like I was sad I didn't get to watch the Bears and 49ers game on Sunday Night Football. We were traveling when that was happening. But like for the most part, I didn't really care. I watched, I think, the first half of the Cowboys-Commanders game on Christmas Day. So I watched a little bit of that game, and I think that was the only football I watched the whole week, and I didn't really miss it. I couldn't watch it even if I wanted to outside the Christmas Netflix games, because you cannot watch YouTube TV there. It's not supported there. So I could not indulge in any other football if I wanted to.
Oh, that's a tough scene. That's a tough scene,
bro. But I kind of went into it going, look, I just got married. I'm on my honeymoon. I do not need to be worried about football. So I did a good job staying away from it. And I was in our – no one cares about your fantasy team, but I was in the fantasy Super Bowl. So the way that we did it was we split the money 50-50, so I didn't have to worry about it. So
There you go.
That would have been the only thing that I would have cared about, but I didn't have a reason to because I was going to make the same amount of money regardless. So it was all good. It was all good. And then came back and went to, I know you know this, we came back and went to New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl. So I have not stopped over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, and that was a fun Sugar Bowl. That really was. That was phenomenal. Ole Miss got over top. Now, when we look at the CFP, when you look at this Final Four, Indiana, Ole Miss, Oregon, and Miami, like, what's your reaction to that? I mean, going into the season, I don't think a lot of people would have tabbed really anybody outside of Oregon for this Final Four. I don't think Indiana was getting that type of love, but, of course, they are who they are, and that we'll talk about the ass-whipping they handed Alabama. But this Final Four, what's the intrigue for you, and how surprising is it that these four teams ultimately made it through?
Yeah, it's about as surprising as it could get, barring like a non-Power Four school getting in, right? Because you got a little bit of everything. You got Indiana, who was the one seed, was number one in the AP Top 25. And even after the Ohio State game, it's still like you have some people that are questioning, you know, can they do it? Can they make this run? And here they are. And I think they're the odds-on favorite, the best team remaining. But you look around, Oregon – they were good this year. They had their ups and downs, but they always kind of felt like a good team. And then you go past that, you look at Miami, started the season off really hot, beat Notre Dame, looked like one of the best teams in college football early in the season, kind of faded down the stretch. I don't think anyone had high expectations for them going down the stretch, but you look at the way that they played against Ohio State, that defense is made to win them games. It did exactly that. They have Reuben Bain, who's arguably the best player in defensive player in college football. I think I'd put my money on Caleb Downs, but Reuben Bain's right up there with him. And then past that, Ole Miss, which after the Lane Kiffin debacle, I don't think anybody knew what to expect. I certainly didn't. I know my now family that is all Ole Miss fans, they did not have a lot of confidence just because there was so much turmoil, so much shifting around. But the way that they played in that Georgia game showed that they could have backed down and kind of suckered up, but this has just motivated them to be better.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, how much of that do you think there is, you know, present with that Ole Miss team, where it seems like they're bucking against the Lane Kiffin stuff, if you will, where they seem to find some motivation from him leaving and everything that's happened, that's transpired since he left for Baton Rouge?
He paid him.
I think that's exactly what they did. And the way that I explained it after that game, me and my family were talking about it, and it was like, did we expect this? Did we see this coming? Like, how did you feel about, let's rewind a couple weeks and how did we feel about this? And you kind of said in that moment, like, they have two ways to go here, right? They can let this get to them. All the guys can be dreaming about Baton Rouge and LSU and not focused on the main thing, or even if it's not, you know, thinking about going to Baton Rouge, just the fact that your coach put you through all this drama and all this turmoil and all these headlines, and you could have really let that affect you, or you get mad and you get motivated, and it seems like that's exactly what they've done, and that it's the perfect response, right? Because the situation is what it is. Are you really going to let your season end because of what happened with your coach? So the fact that they've allowed it to motivate them, we saw in the first college football playoff game against Tulane, they said the uniform combo that they wore that because Lane Kiffin hated that uniform combo. It's just those little jabs, those little things like that, where it's like, okay, we could fold, or we could just go out and win these games and prove this dude wrong and kind of shove it in his face that, hey, you could be on a team that's in the semifinals right now and potentially playing for a national championship, and instead you left us. So I really respect the way that they've responded. Pete Golden coming in as the interim head coach, and initially interim and then being hired as the head coach, no one had expectations for him. You looked around the country, everybody talked about how that was a bad hire, how they could have done better than that Keith Carter completely fumbled the entire situation, and it's to be determined still, right? But
sure,
Pete Golding is 2-0 in college football playoff games, which is extremely impressive to go from a defensive coordinator to deal with all the Lane Kiffin stuff, to be thrust into the head coaching role of this team where who knows what the mental state is, and to beat Tulane and to beat Georgia. in a game where they really had to fight, and that was a great game. I mean, honestly, it went back and forth. Ole Miss started off hot, then Georgia came back and had control at halftime. Then Ole Miss comes back. Then it looks like Georgia's going to do the Georgia thing and come back in the end and win it. And Ole Miss's defense stepped up, and more than anything, Trinidad Chambliss stepped up. So it's just, regardless of how you feel about Ole Miss as a program, as a football team, what they've done over the last several weeks, I don't think anyone could have predicted them making it to the semifinal after what they went
through. Well, and it's weirdly enough, man, you know, no love lost for my playing days for Ole Miss fans, the team, program, whole thing. But it's hard not to root for that roster, for that team right this second, considering all they've gone through and the way they're handling it. I mean, they're handling it with class until they get asked questions about Lane Kiffin. And there was a D-tackle. I think their starting D-tackle basically said he tried to make it about himself, so we're going to make it about ourselves and go win a national title. And I respect that. And that Pete Golding hire, yes, I do think it was met with some criticism, pretty heavy criticism. But if you look up right this second, they have re-signed a lot of the guys going into next year that got them to this point. Trinidad Chambliss, if he gets another year, will be back at Ole Miss. Kawan Lacy, who is one of the best running backs in college football, maybe the best returning running back in college football, he re-signed. Prince Will Umanmielen, their edge, he re-signed. Sunserene Perkins re-signs. Bunch of O-linemen and D-linemen re-signed. Kicker, Lucas Cardero re-signs. And we know how good he is. Basically the game-winning kick there against Georgia. So, you know, Pete Golding, while there is questions about what he will look like as a head coach, one thing I do know about him, he's retaining this roster and he's always been an ace recruiter.
Yeah, the players clearly love him, right? Because I think if you had asked anybody a few weeks ago, Trinidad Chambliss would have been gone to LSU, Kawan Lacy would have been gone to LSU, Sunterine Perkins would have been, like, all the big players from Ole Miss would have either been in the draft or at LSU if you asked unanimously around the country. But clearly, Pete Golding played a large role in getting these players, and they clearly have a lot of respect for him. And also, I think Lane made them more angry than most people realize. Yep. Like, a lot of people just were kind of like, oh, he left. They'll go to the college football playoff. They'll lose. All the players will go to LSU. At least where it stands right now, it does not look like that. I think the Kawan Lacy news came out today, and honestly, that shocked me because that felt like the one that was like, okay, Trinidad Chambliss, we don't know with the waiver, so it'll be kind of difficult.
Sure.
Just depending on when the timing on that is. But Kawan Lacy, like, Lane Kiffin's taking him, right? No, he's staying at Ole Miss. So Pete Golding's clearly done a lot for those players, and they clearly have a lot of respect for him.
Kawan Lacy, I don't know this for certain, okay? But I have a feeling this is how this played out. When the news originally was dropped that Lane Kiffin was heading to Baton Rouge, I would imagine there was pretty heavy thought given from Kawan Lacy's camp to, hey, let's make that move. Let's go follow Lane Kiffin. We've seen a lot of success under him. But then Lane Kiffin's actions, it feels like he fumbled the bag on Kawan Lacy for the most part. Because Kawan Lacy, while this was all going on and all the drama was going back and forth, he was tweeting and retweeting things that were anti-Lane Kiffin along the way when Lane Kiffin was doing his Lane Kiffin thing. So it feels like, you know, good for Ole Miss to be able to re-sign him. That's an awesome get for next year. But it feels like Lane Kiffin fumbled the bag on Kawan Lacy.
Yeah, and that's kind of my question, right? Like, I know Pete's always been a great recruiter, and he seems like one of those guys that's just a football coach, right? Like, there's no bells and whistles with him. He's pretty much just what you see is what you get.
I mean, if they had the term SEC coordinator in the dictionary, or defensive coordinator in the dictionary, Pete Golding's face would be right there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all that to say, like, is it more that, or is it more just the way that Lane Kiffin handled himself? And I'm sure it's a good mix of both. But Lane didn't do himself any favors, and he hasn't. Just like the rumor circulating that he was going to be at Caesars Superdome for the Sugar Bowl. You know, stuff like that, and was going to be in the box with the governor and requested, and I don't know the validity of all this stuff, but requested to be on the broadcast and just stuff like that.
Right.
Stuff like that flying around is just like, how do you have respect? You know, how do you feel good about going to play for that guy? You know, so he's kind of put on the villain mask once again, which is not shocking. And then when you have someone like Pete, who's a good recruiter and players liked, and I think that's the storm for, we're not going to go you know, uproot our careers and go to Baton Rouge to play for this guy when we can just stay here. We've had success here. And you can kind of see a scenario where all the players might come together and have that discussion and be like, look, we could all jump ship after this year and go there, or we just run it back here and do the same thing. And that feels like what's happened with them.
Yeah, or we could make Lane regret his decision for life.
Exactly.
And I like the way they've attacked it. All right, now Alabama-Indiana, 38-3. Now, I expected Indiana to win this game. Did I expect 38-3? No. I expected them to cover. 38-3 is nuts. That's a bigger, you know, deficit or winning margin than Ole Miss had over Tulane. So yeah, there's that. But this is the question I keep coming back to. And it's kind of tough because Indiana is – it's amazing what Kurt Cignetti has done. But this game and this result, which program does it say more about, Indiana or Alabama? Right, Alabama on the losing side, getting their doors blown off, never having even an outside chance to go win that ball game, or Indiana, who just didn't play with their food at all, and it took it to Alabama from start to finish, and never let their foot off the gas. Like who does this situation say more about?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people would say Alabama here, right, because they've been the preeminent college football team over the last whatever 15 plus years. I think this was what their worst loss since like 97 or something like that. Like it was bad. And if it was maybe anybody else other than Indiana, I think you could say it says more about Alabama, but Indiana is just like a no name when it comes to football. Like no one thinks about Indiana football. And you see all the clips now of people talking about, you know, Indiana football this, Indiana football that, and it's never going to happen. This is not a place people want to play. Here they are, number one team in the country, number one seed, undefeated season, semifinal, looking to make it to a national championship. I think it just says more about where this program is more than anything else to me. I mean, it's...
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
It's one of the crazier sports stories I've ever seen in my life. Like, I cannot recall something quite this shocking. So I think it says a lot about them. It says a lot about Kurt Cignetti and those players.
Yeah. Now, on that same sort of discussion, when it comes to Alabama, where do they go from here? Like, what do you think the temperature is for Kalen DeBoer? I mean, he gets to the CFP, shout out, wins the CFP game, shout out, and avenges one of the losses they had during the regular season against Oklahoma. But 38-3 is one of those that just feels like, okay, things could go crumbling down or you could change right now and make some things happen this offseason.
Yeah, I don't see the reason to break it down and to tear it down and try to rebuild it, right? I think the reality is for Alabama right now is they're clearly not the best team in college football anymore. They're just kind of another one of your top 10 to 15 teams in college football that will probably consistently be in this position where they're probably right there in the college football playoff or on the outside looking into the college football playoff every year. And it's going to take that perfect special year for them to go back and win a national championship. And that's just I think that's just the reality for them now. They're not the powerhouse that they once were. They don't have Nick Saban anymore. they don't have the uneven playing ground that they once had when they could just sell the brand of Alabama football and five stars would flock because of it. It's not the same. But I don't think that means you tear it all down, and I don't think that means Kalen DeBoer is a bad coach. I think they're just now an upper-tier college football team. They're not the standard anymore,
yep,
which is different, which is weird for Alabama fans, I'm sure, to adjust to. But I think they're just like an Oregon or you know, an Ohio State,
right,
or a team like that.
Well, yeah, Ohio State, that's still pretty, you know. That's a reigning national champ still, even though they lost.
It is a reigning national champ, but they didn't go on some, you know, 15-year run like Alabama. Is
sure.
What I'm saying. It's just that team that they'll probably consistently be in the top 12, top 15, and every couple of years you'll go, oh, they're elite this year. It's just going to be the regular college football cycle for them.
Yep.
They're not at the top of the mountain anymore. So I don't think it means for panic because, I mean, if you're consistently a really good football team, what can you say? It's just a far fall from grace when you're used to being in the national championship or right on the doorstep every year.
Yeah. Now, real conversation to be had, and we need to try to hit this with some honesty. The SEC in postseason play, 4-9, ugly, very, very ugly. Only team remaining, Ole Miss. I don't think anybody expected that.
No.
But at the same time, I look at the Big Ten versus the SEC. And granted, the Big Ten, Indiana's come along, so they're going to be a power, it seems like, under Kurt Cignetti for a while. But when you look at the Big Ten versus the SEC at this moment, it feels like there's a divide growing with the top teams in each conference, right? That's just how it feels. I still think that, you know, going to Mississippi State at the end of the year is a lot harder than going to Northwestern at the end of the year to play a ball game, right? So I think, like, top to bottom, SEC still has probably, you know, a little bit better, you know, from, I don't know, team 5 through 16, 17. Like, I think they're
right,
a little better than the Big Ten. But the consolidation of power and recruits and money seems to be favoring the top teams in the Big Ten over the top teams in the SEC. And what I mean by that is the top teams in the Big Ten are still spending and getting great players and getting great results. The Michigans, the Ohio States, the Oregons, the, you know, you keep going down. Penn State's probably going to head that direction soon. And in the SEC, it feels like, you know, it's all up for grabs. Like the NIL, transfer portal stuff. A lot of these guys are choosing any school in the SEC, not just Georgia, not just Alabama, not just LSU. They are going to Ole Miss. They're going to Vandy. They're, you know, that's what it feels like. I mean, for God's sakes, Jared Curtis, 5-star quarterback, just flipped a commitment from Georgia to Vandy.
Right.
So it feels like while the SEC's powers are being challenged a lot more by the rest of the conference, the Big Ten's powers are not being challenged by the rest of the conference. The Marylands, the Iowas, the Wisconsin's, those teams are still in the same pecking order as compared to where the SEC is at right now.
Yeah, no, I think that's an excellent point. I think it's definitely true. And I agree with you in the sense that I think the SEC is still deeper top to bottom. Like, I think it's a better overall football conference when you think about the depth of the teams and the quality of the teams. But yeah, you're right. At the top, there was no, I mean, was there an SEC team when we went into the college football playoff that it felt like they're going to run the table? Not, I mean, maybe
no.
Georgia you could have made an argument for, but like Alabama and Ole Miss, no one felt like they were going to go in and dominate every game in the college football playoff. In the Big Ten, it felt like Indiana and Ohio State were two of those
sure.
teams. It felt like they were the two best teams in the entire country. And then you throw in Oregon also, who's now in the semifinals. So I agree with you. I don't think that distribution of wealth is happening throughout the Big Ten like it is in the SEC, which is consolidating that power to the top. And I think a lot of that is just NIL. I think those other SEC schools just have a lot more money than those bottom tier Big Ten schools. And I think they can spread that money out a little bit more and say, okay, Jared Curtis, do you want to go sit at Georgia for 3 years and potentially play after that? Or you just want to come to Vanderbilt and be the starter?
Start in your hometown right away. Right.
Right. And we'll hand you the keys and we have the money to back that up. and I don't think those other Big Ten teams do, but I think the Missouris of the world and the South Carolinas of the world and Florida and Tennessee and LSU and Texas, all these schools have the money to spend. If you go down the list in the Big Ten, you name the schools that have money to spend, right? Indiana, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, Michigan. Those teams can spend money. Outside of that, you don't look at any of those Big Ten teams and go, they could be a real player in spending money. And I mentioned Indiana in there just because they're really good right now. We don't know what that NIL money situation is going to be.
I can guarantee it's getting better. It's gotten better.
Yeah, but, there's no doubt that it's growing. And for the rest of the Big Ten teams, I don't think you can say the same thing. So you look up in the SEC and South Carolina's got a couple five-star commits, and Missouri's got a five-star commit, and Vanderbilt's got a five-star commit. Tennessee's got multiple. Texas has multiple. It's just so spread out that I think when we used to come into seasons, you would go, Alabama's going to dominate. You did that for 15 years or whatever. Then you look the past few years, you said Georgia's going to dominate. No doubt over the last 6 or 7 years, those two teams are going to be dominant. You don't have to question it. Now I think when you look in the SEC and you spread them all out on the table, there could be a year where you go into it where you go, LSU's the best team.
Yep.
Texas is the best team. Maybe Alabama, you know, brings in some transfers 1 year. They're the best team going in. Georgia's the best team going in. Like, there's, what, six to eight teams maybe in the SEC where you could look at them and they'd be in the top 15 or top 10 buying for a college football playoff spot, and you go, that's not surprising really when you look at their recruiting classes. But in the Big Ten, it is. It's top heavy. You know the elite level schools with Indiana sneaking in there now too. I think it's a great point. I haven't really heard that brought up or talked about other than throughout the season, people just saying who's better, the Big Ten or the SEC. But I think that really dives deeper into
why we're saying what we're saying.
Yeah,
right.
Why is that happening right now? And much like the parity that we're seeing in the college football playoff right now, NIL is just completely changing the game. I know it's been talked about a lot. Everyone's heard about it. It is the talk of college football over the last several years, but we're really seeing the impacts of it. If you would have told someone 2 years ago that Indiana, Ole Miss, Oregon, and Miami would have been in the college football playoff, the only team that they would have believed out of that is Oregon. Yep. Outside of that, you would have never believed that any of those teams could have made it, and here we are. And then just like you're talking about also, the distribution of power among the SEC is completely different because of how much of money is a factor.
Yep. All right. Now, we have about 30 seconds, so holler at me about these games we'll see on Thursday and Friday. Miami versus Ole Miss, give me your quick thoughts and pick.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think it's hard to pick against Miami after they beat Ohio State. If that defense can shut Trinidad Chambliss down and just slow that offense down some, I think Carson Beck can make enough plays in that running game, can make enough plays to where they can win. So I think it all hinges on Miami's defense.
And then Oregon, Indiana, 6:30 Peach Bowl Friday.
I just don't know if I can see anybody beating Indiana right now. They're playing with so much confidence. Fernando Mendoza, same thing, just a ton of confidence, knows what he's doing. Obviously, elite quarterback on the other side, and Dante Moore is expected to be the number one and number two overall pick, but it's just hard for me to see anybody doing anything on the defense of Indiana.
You're the man. Appreciate it, Christian. We'll talk soon.
Yes, sir. See y'all next week.
Yes, sir. He's Christian Fowler, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. Check out our podcast, 7 o'clock tonight on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network. Now, we need to go ahead and transition, get you up out of here. We'll send you to Grizzlies versus Spurs on the Grizzlies Radio Network right here on 92.9 FM. ESPN, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces, like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.